6. Chamberlain. In the evening, he left the regiment and went off by himself to be alone while the night came over the field. He moved out across the blasted stone wall and down the long, littered slope until he found a bare rock where he could sit and look out across the battlefield at dusk. It was like the gray floor of hell. Parties moved with yellow lights through blowing smoke under a low gray sky, moving from black lump to black lump, while papers fluttered and blew and fragments of cloth and cartridge and canteen tumbled and floated across the gray and steaming ground. He remembered with awe the clean green fields of morning, the splendid yellow wheat. This was another world. His own mind was blasted and clean, windblown. He was still slightly in shock from the bombardment, and he sat not thinking of anything but watching the last light of the enormous day, treasuring the last gray moment. He knew he had been present at one of the great moments in history. He had seen them come out of the trees and begin the march up the slope, and when he closed his eyes, he could still see them coming. It was a sight few men were privileged to see, and many who had seen it best had not lived through it. He knew that he would carry it with him as long as he lived. And he could see himself as an old man trying to describe it to his grandchildren, the way the men had looked as they came out into the open and formed for the assault, the way they stood there shining and immobile, all the flags high and tilting and glittering in the sun. And then the way they all kicked to motion, suddenly, all beginning to move at once, too far away for the separate feet to be visible, so that there seemed to be a silvery rippling all down the line. And that was the moment when he first felt the real fear of them coming, when he saw them begin to move. Chamberlain closed his eyes and saw it again. It was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. No book or music would have that beauty. He did not understand it. A mile of men flowing slowly, steadily, inevitably up the long green ground, dying all the while, coming to kill you, and the shell bursts appearing above them like instant white flowers, and the flags all tipping and fluttering, and dimly you could hear the music and the drums, and then you could hear the officers screaming. And yet even above your own fear came the sensation of unspeakable beauty. He shook his head, opened his eyes. Professor's mind. But he thought of Aristotle, pity and terror. So this is tragedy. Yes, he nodded. In the presence of real tragedy, you feel neither pain nor joy nor hatred, only a sense of enormous space and time suspended. The great doors open to black eternity, the rising across the terrible field of that last, enormous, unanswerable question. It was dark around him. There was one small, gray area of the sky still aglow in the west. The rest was blackness and flashes of lightning. At that moment, a fine rain began to fall, and he heard it come toward him, seeking him in a light patter up the slope. He had dust all over him, a fine pulverized powder from the shelling, dust in his hair and eyes, and dust gritty in his teeth. And now he lifted his face to the rain and licked his lips and could taste the dirt on his face and knew that he would remember that too, the last moment at Gettysburg. The taste of raw earth in the cold and blowing dark, the touch of cold rain, the blaze of lightning. After a while, Brother Tom found him, sitting in the rain, and sat with him and shared the darkness and the rain. Chamberlain remembered using the boy to plug a hole in the line, stopping the hole with his own brother's body like a warm, bloody cork, and Chamberlain looked at himself. It was so natural and clear, the right thing to do. Fill the gap with the body of my brother. Therefore, Tom would have to go. And Chamberlain told himself, run the boy away from you because if he stays with you, he'll die. He stared at the boy in the darkness, felt an incredible love. reached out to touch him, stopped himself. Tom was saying, "I guess you gotta hand it to them, the way they came up that hill." Chamberlain nodded. He was beginning to feel very strange, stuffed and strange. "But we stood up to them. They couldn't break us," Tom said. "No." "Well, nobody ever said they wasn't good soldiers." "Well, they're Americans anyway, even if they are Rebs." "Yes," Chamberlain said.